Well, did I get everything on our... when we get these Sundays and we got all different kinds of stuff going on, get me out of my routine and we're all in trouble. But I just want to just tag for a moment or two more on this idea of do you understand? Do we really understand? And this part is not so much the do you understand. I'm speaking to sometimes those of us who understand and have understood in the past, but we let life help us to forget. You know what I mean? We've come to that place where our lives have been changed. Did you know that when you come and enter into a relationship with the God of the universe through his son Jesus, something happens to you that changes you. You are not the same anymore. When you enter into a relationship with God Almighty, you become a different person. Your priorities change. The things you would be afraid to do before or would never even think of doing before, all of a sudden you find yourself doing. You become different. Your priorities get rearranged when you enter into a relationship with God. How many people have fallen in love in the past? Husbands? You better raise your hands. When you see that gal, and I can only speak from a guy's perspective, obviously. When I really saw Terry the first time, not the time when I first met her, but didn't really know she was there. I met her. Oh, fine. I said I remember the first time I met Terry, and I described it, and she said, "No, we met like 6 months before that." I'm like, "What?" But she was like in a crowd of about 10 people around a table in a dark place, and I didn't really. Okay, that's my excuse. But when I first laid eyes on her, I'm like, "This one I want to know." And the more I got to know her, I was one of those second date, "I love you." "What? You don't even know me. What are you talking about?" Yeah, I didn't really know what love was really at that point. The third date, what did I say, Terry?
You said, "You never know because I called
about that on the wrong
day."
She called me, For those that didn't hear that, maybe I don't know if I love you yet, but I am going to marry you. And you know what? I began to center my life around pursuing and seeking out to spend time with this woman. I wanted her in my life. I did things. I would, for that first year, I think I put a flower on your windshield quite often on a one-month anniversary, didn't I? I gave it to you. I remember doing it on your windshield at work. Yeah, but I you know, it changed me because I wanted to be with her. That's what happens only in much greater degrees when we come into that place of saying, "God, I want you in my life. I want you to, you died in my place. You took my sins, you who were sinless. You took not only my sins, but the sins of everybody in the world, past, present, and future." Talk about blowing your mind. I want to be with you. And when I realized that I could and that he was willing and wanted to walk with me, it changed my life and priorities. How many people know that life can cause us to drift from those deep-held passions and loves and desires? Is that right? It's true. We can find ourselves what was like, "Oh, I'm so excited," to, "Do I gotta go? Do I really? I don't have time to. I gotta go. I don't have time to read my Bible." That's our human nature. I think I've put that saying in about prayer. Sometimes every fire needs to be stoked and fed in order to stay hot. Every fire does. The fire of our hearts are the same way. It needs to be stoked. And one of the things that I've been learning, and I started noticing this in the Psalms, something that I have learned that I have to learn how to do. And it's a very simple phrase. I need to learn how to return to joy. I need to learn how to return to joy. The places that I find myself where I kind of get lackadaisical, or I find myself burdened by guilt for something that I have done or that I didn't do, when somebody has hurt me and I'm angry and I'm unwilling to forgive them, those are the times when I have to stop and say, I need to return to that place of joy when I met my Savior and I realized that He had forgiven me and He loved me right the way I, just as I was. And that moment that I remember saying that to Terry that night that I gave my life to Christ, I can't believe He could love someone like me. Because I knew me. Everybody else saw a nice Frank. I put on a nice guy front. But I also knew that there was a not so nice Frank on the inside. And I knew that God knew that part of me. And I said, I don't understand how He could love me. But it was in that moment that it was like, but He does. He does. And I have to return to joy, return to that moment when I said, He does love me. And He wants to walk with me through every moment of every step of my life. That's that place of where you just stop and you realize God Almighty, Creator of the universe, loved me so much that He would leave heaven and come and stand in my place and take my death upon the cross. Loves me. Loves me. It's what transformed my life in that moment. And you know what? It's the same thing that transforms my life today. But there are times when I have to return to that place of joy. I have to stop and say, God, I got to remember what happened that day was reality. What I'm living right now, maybe, my lukewarm heart, distracted or frustrated or angry, all those things are temporal, aren't they? They happen because of circumstances and things. Those things come and go. But what God did in my life is eternal. And I have to sometimes stop and say, God, help me to just return to that place where I'm standing in Your presence and You're saying, I forgive You, I love You, You're my son, and we're going to walk together. Because that's His heart. And it's as real today as it was then, regardless of how I might be responding to Him or how I'm feeling. That's the joy that I need to learn how to return to. How life-transforming could that be? You'd be surprised. Because too often we get ourselves in this over and over. Life gets us going and we're just cranking on the different tasks and things and problems and we're just going and life is... It wears us down, and we have to stop and say, before I run out the door today, I'm going to stop. And just like when I read this psalm, I wrote myself a note, return to joy, and I found this in probably four or five other psalms in the next couple pages that I've read. It was David saying, I need to return to that place of joy, knowing that God is my God and he loves me. Psalm 37 read this way, "Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun." David had to just say, you know what? There's people after me. They're not intending me good. They're intending me harm. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to let this stress me. I'm going to take my trust, my focus, put myself in the presence of God Almighty, who loves me and who has welcomed me into a relationship with him as his child. And I'm just going to trust him. I'm going to do good. I'm just going to keep my eyes fixed on him and do what he calls me to do. I'm just going to dwell where I am, doing what I'm supposed to do, and enjoy God's relationship, his blessing with me. This is what his desire for you is. Is there a part of you that just really struggles to just have that kind of relationship with God? It's because, what did I say, that our taster is broken or rusty? There's a part of us, the right half of our brain is relational. It's where our joy comes. The left half of our brain is logical. It's task-oriented. It functions on facts and figures. But we don't find joy in the tasks and the facts and figures unless we are in the relational side of our minds. That's where the joy is. That's the whole roller coaster thing. It's a blast when you're with somebody. It's kind of lame when you're by yourself, you know? And delight yourself in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He loves to bless his people. If we would just simply delight ourselves with him and enjoy what God has blessed us with, doing what we're supposed to do, but doing it because we're in this wonderful relationship with a God who loves us, he would love to give you the desires of your heart. And if the desires of your heart are a little bit wacky, they're a little bit out there, they're not lining up with his, you know what he's going to do? He loves you. Just like any parent, he's going to begin to teach you and direct you and help you to understand what a better way would be. He's not going to purposely give you anything that's bad for you. He wants to give you what's good for you. So commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. He says he'll do this. That is returning to joy. Okay, God, this is your desire, is to bless me. So whatever's going on in my life, whatever's going on in my heart, taking a deep breath, I'm stepping out of all the tasks and busyness that are stressing me out, and I'm just going to take some time and learn how to taste and see that the Lord is good again. I'm just going to close with, I was praying about this last night, and I haven't journaled in a little while. I think it had been months, actually. When was the last time? Oh, I think the last thing I put in here was at my pastor's retreat back in October. I'm like, wow. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to just do a little bit of writing. Sometimes journaling has a way of slowing us down to listen and think about what's going on in our lives and our hearts and our minds. So I just said, Lord, do I understand what you've done for me? Did I forget? Did I get adopted as your son and begin acting like your servant? Did I get blown away when I learned that you would be with me every day and that I'd never have to walk alone again? And then little by little, start tuning you out, stop looking to you, living like I was alone even when I wasn't. I learned that I was loved by him, really, truly. I had hope that tomorrow was in his hands, taken care of. I found courage. I loved him without caution, without fear. I loved others with joy and expectation that they could find Christ like I had. I confess that some of those aspects of my relationship with God have faded or been crowded out by busyness and tasks. The joy of my salvation got crowded out by the needs, by the tasks. Lord, I want to choose joy again. Draw me close to you again. Maybe this is the way I can begin again. Seems easier to talk to you by journaling. I begin to feel your presence again. Thank you for loving me and being so patient with me. You are awesome in your grace. That's kind of where I am at and have been. Maybe that's my psalm of returning to joy. I want to return to that place more and more and more often. It's not something to do once and say, ta-da, I'm here, because life will pull us away again. And we have to make the choice. I'm going to return to that place where I am loved by God. I've been welcomed into his presence as a loving father welcomes his son or his daughter, and know that I am his beloved. And he's going to walk with me through whatever it is that's got me stressing out. So I just wanted to share that with you and give you some things to take with you. Does anybody have a thought that this has brought to their mind that, you know what? I have drifted, and I need to return to joy. It's, you know, this is something that, maybe it's something in particular that's kind of pulled you away from that close walk with him. Maybe it's just something that's kind of awakened in you that you want to experience that joy that you had but haven't maybe experienced in a while. Anybody have a thought they want to share? I'm wanting to leave this time more open for us to share as a family. I feel that it is kind of an altar call that everybody can share in. So that's why you're finding me doing this more often, is that everybody's blessed when somebody makes a decision or God speaks to them. So any thoughts that you want to share about what God's speaking to you about? Yeah, Bonnie.
I've been struggling with depression lately, quite a bit, and when I get into that mode, I isolate, and I choose not to go to things that I know would be better for me than to be sitting around in my yuck by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm very grateful that there are people here in the church that when I get to that point, I can call on them, and they'll be there for me. But mostly I need to turn to the Lord, and I've been doing that the last couple of days, and you know, I teach Bible studies, but sometimes it's just a task.
Yep.
And I'm so concerned about making sure that everybody else is going to understand that I don't take the time to internalize it and to accept it for myself. So, the last few days, I've been not teaching a class, but just learning what the class has to offer me. And it's been gratifying.
Yeah. Thanks, Bonnie. Yeah. That's, Joe.
Every year around tax time, I get very, very busy because it's part of my job. And I think I've gotten to the place where I'm so focused on whatever problems in front of me, whatever life is demanding, that I'm not stopping. And as you were talking, I was thinking, just stopping and kind of just enjoying the glory of God, mm-hmm. just being able to find that place of joy. Right now, I think I'm very much focused on my problems, and I know that God can take care of those problems. I know that He's the one that's the answer, but am I stopping long enough not just to get an answer, but to just rest in His joy?
Yes.
And it's very hard. Life is so busy, so busy that I'm exhausted, and I'm know where the source is that I need to get restored from, but I'm not taking the time to go there and just rest.
I hear you. I hear you, Joe. It's real easy to just to go, and we know where the refreshing, the living water is, and we run past the well. Yeah, I'll be back. And we never come back, do we? We just keep on going. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else have a thought the Lord's been kind of laying on your heart? Oh, okay. Norma.
When I hear everyone talking, I can remember, you remember when you were saved, when you accepted Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
I can remember it just like yesterday. I was in Sunday school, and we had a substitute teacher. And she had black and white saddle shoes on because my head was down praying and I had seen her shoes. And it's funny the things that stick with you. And well, we didn't have a car. This is during the war. I'm 84 years old. And I was in grade school, the seventh grade. And these people had asked, my two friends had asked to take me. And they picked me up every Sunday, her mother and stepfather. They would come and get me and take me. So this one Sunday, we had a substitute teacher, and she gave like an invitation. She asked us to stay after class if you were interested in accepting Christ as your Savior. And I raised my hand, and I thought, what did I do? I didn't drive. I'm riding with other people. You know, what are we going to do? When I opened my eyes, guess who was sitting there, too? My two girlfriends, Kay and Ann. They both gone home to be with their Savior now. And but all those years, and your friends, when you have Christian friends, they're your brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's right.
So you may be an only child, but you're not an only child in God's eyes. You've got friends, and you're lifelong friends. And it just, I see you girls getting ready to go to Haiti, and I think, you know what? You've got lifetime friends. To this day, I still keep in contact, and I'm thankful for Orville's not here. He's sick, so pray for him.
Yeah.
But he always makes fun of Facebook. But through Facebook, all over the United States, you get to see their kids and everything. It's just a wonderful thing. So thank you, and God bless you. And I hope if you're not saved, you accept my Jesus as your Savior, because you're never alone. 24/7 I can talk
Amen.
To you. You never get a busy signal.
That's right. That's the truth. Amen. One more back here, Donna.
I just wanted to say that a lot of times I get negative and feel depressed, and the Lord's still there. And sometimes I even feel like He's just left me. But I know, I really do know better, but it doesn't always feel that way. And He's there, even when I'm not there for Him, He's there for me. And I'm just really grateful, and I just wanted to make sure that in His house, I want to tell Him that. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, Donna. Yeah, sometimes we just have to stop and acknowledge that and take the time to stop and just say, God, I love You today. So we learn to worship Him, learn to pray, learn to talk to Him, tell Him about what's going on in our day. Just take the time to listen, take the time to journal. Be amazed at how much God speaks to you in those few pages that you write down. Well, let's just take a minute and pray, and I'll let you guys get out to the bake sale out there. I'm going to be out there. Father, we just thank You so much for your love for us. God, that we can just dwell and live in your presence, to know that even as we look at our children, we think, man, nothing I love more in this world, Lord, than my children, than what I would do for them. To know that, God, that's your heart towards us. There's nothing you wouldn't do to bless us, Lord God. So thank you, Father, for ministering to us today. Teach us more and more, Lord God, how to return to that place of saying, God, you're God, and you love me, and you're in the midst of this, and I just want to take some time to just tell you I love you and experience your goodness towards me. So help us, Lord, more and more to do that. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our day. Bless the Davison folks as they travel back, and give us a day that we can just share God's great love and goodness with somebody else that comes across our path. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, and amen. And amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. Go buy a cake pop.